Hey, you come back to life, microphone. Good stuff, pal.
Hello, you. It's time once again to pour one out with the Pouring Old Man. My name is Russell. This is the Pouring Old Man podcast, episode 57. Thank you for joining us once again. Pouring one out with me today. He ain't nothing but a heartbreaker because he's Warren. Huh. What is he good for? It goes for absolutely nothing. It's a bit mean to sing the rest of that one, but Warren's here. How you going, mate?
Good, mate. How are you?
Not too bad.
That's good.
And getting separation anxiety today, probably, is Chris. He's not here.
Yes.
He's he's finally let go of the apron strings from me, I suppose. And
well, look, that's not what I heard.
Yeah.
What I heard was, since we put the vaccine mandate in, he's no longer allowed to record.
Because I heard he liked jabbing people. Oh, that's something else, actually. No, that's something else he likes doing.
That's a pastime.
Yeah. I know the next time I see him, it's going to be one of those awkward conversations. Like, I've just been hanging out with an ex kind of thing. Well, you did a podcast without me? Was it better than me? Was it? What does he bring that I don't bring?
Yeah, I know. I don't think many of the listeners know just how self-conscious he is.
I mean, the good news for me is that this is the first time in about 6 months that when I load up the podcast, I don't have to click the little box down the bottom that says explicit material. Yeah. So,
because we can control ourselves. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. he gives that more fucks than a Vietnamese bakery, you know what I mean?
That's a good one. I like that.
Yeah, you know, you can tell I work at a pub that's frequented by a lot of Vietnamese people.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. So, what's been happening?
Oh, mate, just cranking through, getting ready for Christmas and spending way too, I think I said last week, spending way too much money on Lego and wrapping paper and that sort of crap.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. A few years ago, we made the mistake of bringing in the old Elf on the Shelf thing for the kids.
Oh, yeah. How's that going?
Yeah, we regret it ever since.
I like the idea.
Yeah.
I don't have that much energy and creativity every day.
No. And admittedly, I'll leave it for the wife to take care of it. And, like, you know, just before bed, and she'll, like, burst out of the bedroom. Oh, my God, this is something with the elves. And I'm like, I'll just stick it in the fridge. Fine, we'll stick it in the fridge. It's fine.
Yeah, why does it keep ending up in the bin, Dad? Well, we're waiting for bin day. I think I've been putting up all the Christmas lights and everything around the house.
Yes, yes.
It's been fun. It's got the Christmas tree up. And
I saw the photos last week, you know, making the house look like National Lampoon's kind of thing. Did you get rain down the roof or did you go to the horses thing? We're hoping you'd have a Dale Brackway theme going for it.
Well, I thought the horses is more true to form for Australia, so.
It would be, yeah, yeah.
You can kind of imagine Santa rolling in at the port before he comes in and changing over from his reindeer to horses.
Yeah, they'll stick them in quarantine. They've got to stay there for a couple of weeks while he's in the country, or, you know, for a couple of hours while he's in the country, and yeah, absolutely.
Horses do better in the heat as well.
What's this Australian one, the six white boomers when he goes around with kangaroos?
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah. I can't imagine they'd be very compliant, though.
No, I can't imagine that. Get to the third house and one of them start boxing on with Santa.
Yeah.
You look him square in the eye up to Santa, look him straight in the eye and say, who are you? Santa go, who are we? We are the Pouring Old Man. Just a couple of old timers sitting on the back porch talking about the bears we love. We deliver fresh episodes of the show every Tuesday morning on all good podcast services. So be sure to give us a like, a review, give us a rating, give us a share so we can give you more good times. Plus, you can connect with us through all the social media channels. On Facebook, you can find the Pouring Old Man Facebook group where good people talk good beers in a bullshit-free environment. On Instagram and TikTok, you can reach out and follow the Pouring Old Man. Plus, follow your hosts. I'm at Pouring Old Russ. Warren is at Pouring Old Wazza. Chris is at The Neighbour Official. If you have any feedback, comments, suggestions, or inappropriate sexual advances, be sure to drop us a line.
That last one happens too often.
That's mainly from Chris, though, so we want it from other people that are less bearded, I suppose.
I keep telling him there's no amount of money, but he just keeps offering more and more.
As when he starts offering you beers and, stronger forms of alcohol. And
I said there's no amount of money. I didn't say anything about
this
beer.
This is true. Something more intangible. The worrying thing is you didn't say no. You just said not enough money. So.
Exactly. Yeah.
All right. So, should we crack on and see what today's all about?
Yeah, today's a bit special.
Today is a bit special. Oh. So, a couple of weeks ago, our fan favourite, a listener of the show, John Carman, reached out to us and said, oh, I've got some arranged for some beers to come your way. And he goes, oh, did you? And so he's organised through Urbanor to have some beer sent to us for to try and have a wee double. And yeah, so we're going to try some rather strong beers from New Zealand here today.
Absolutely. So, the good guys over at Urbanort sent us over some samples to try and give them our thoughts, and I doubt we'll be disappointed by the look of them.
Yes. all right. Well, crack on.
Yeah.
All right. So first one up from the good folk at Urbanort, what have we got there, Woz?
We've got a Chardonnay barrel-aged Imperial Saison.
Ooh, yes.
In a comically small can.
Yes. Now, I was reading about why they did this, because, for those that don't know Urbanort, the one thing that kind of put them on the scene was they started doing the beer blenders.
Correct.
They have two 250ml size cans wrapped together in a single sort of package. And you get three drinks in one, you have like the two separate cans, mixing together, have a third different flavour thing.
Yeah.
Two varying degrees of success. Like ones I had, the actual separate cans were really nice. The third one, all mixed together, can be good, can be different.
Yes.
To put it one way. And I think that's sort of caught the eye of people. Yeah. And I was reading that they also got the idea, when you go to a restaurant and you order a fancy beer or a strong beer, if you get like a normal size can or a 440ml can, you end up paying like $20-25 for an expensive can of beer.
Yeah.
Where they thought this would be good for sampling in restaurants or, takeaway. Just a little can of very strong beer.
Yeah.
And that's how they came up with the idea of doing the 250ml cans.
Yeah. And I was a big fan of the Urbanort beer blenders just for the sake of something different.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like something interesting.
They definitely are a company's not afraid to do something different.
Yeah.
So it seems like from the beers that they release over here, like they're always just a little bit sort of outside the box kind of thing. So.
And they're always really creative in terms of that process as well. In terms of the styles they put together, it's quite interesting. And I think it works well from a marketing perspective because they stand out. There's nothing else like it on the market.
That's right.
They've been doing it for a couple of years now and still nobody has decided to do it with them.
Yeah. I thought someone would have copied it by now, but they've just done their own, they're still alone in doing it.
Yeah. But these sound interesting. So they are heavy. This is a 10% can.
10%.
So it's two standard drinks in a 250ml can. So, yep, it'll probably hit hard.
Yep.
But I reckon we crack in and give it a go.
Absolutely.
I like the idea of the barrel-aged side of a like a Chardonnay barrel-aged side of a Saison.
Yeah. And again, Saison's not something I've had a lot of experience with, so I'm still fairly new to the side of beer, so it'll be interesting to see how I go with it.
These are the smallest pores in the world. A little bit of funkiness in the bottom of that one, I think.
And true to form, you're pouring them into your lovely Happy Valley Brewing glasses here.
Yep, just waiting for that sponsorship check to come through.
Have you got the Happy Valley pajamas through yet? Yeah, surely you got.
Yeah, thought. I got the whole set.
tie-dye pajamas. Actually, that could be a thing.
It could be.
You should work on that.
Yeah. Christmas tie-dye pajamas, even better.
Yeah.
Yeah. You do smell that Chardonnay come through, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah, you absolutely do. Kind of, it's like Chardonnay, but with a bit of like funk to it kind of smell. You know?
Yeah.
It's,
yep. It packs a lot of flavor into
that. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, and again, like tasting all that Chardonnay really kind of comes through.
It does, yeah.
Like sort of like that dry white wine kind of feel to it.
And, yeah.
But then there's a bit of roundedness to the flavor, like a bit of sweetness there. And
you get that I can't think of the word. I keep thinking crispy, but that's not the right word. It's like that refreshing flavor that you get from a Saison.
Mm.
It's very light.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah, it's light, but it's heavy.
That's right,
Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it does. It's almost textually very light. Like it's very foamy and like it just drifts through, but then the flavor just keeps coming and coming. Yeah. And there's so many little variances to the flavor. Like it's just, very, I suppose, very nuanced.
It is. That's a really interesting beer.
Mm. That's,
I think it, probably because of the intensity of it, it just keeps sort of delivering through. So you start quite heavy, big flavors, and then they slowly taper off, but you get different bits and pieces.
The initial flavor is like a shock to the system kind of thing. So just this big intensity. But then as it kind of fades away, that's where you get like the Chardonnay and there's, I just keep wanting to call it that funkiness, you know, like from the wild ales kind of beers that you get, like the farmhouse ales.
Yeah.
That's actually really enjoyable.
It is.
And I'll tell you what, like, I know a couple of weeks ago I downgraded one of the ginger beers for having a small can. Mm. This is probably good in a small can.
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't want to have like a 440 ml can or a big can of that. I'll sit there with just a small size, like a glass of wine.
Yeah.
And just sipping away at all. It is a large pour glass of wine size. So.
And I think it kind of, it's the respect it deserves. It's almost like a stout where you do need to linger, like, and just not throw. It's not a throwdown can. It's not like the premix cans we get of Jack Daniels that are like, the basically they just write on the side, you know, this will get you fucked up. It's
It's one to sit there, sip away, and enjoy, and you appreciate the flavors going there on there, and that's really enjoyable.
Yeah, yeah, it's a cracking little beer.
It's so different from what I normally get.
Mm.
And when I think it's Ryan from Virtual Libre, you know, he reached out to us the other week saying we need to push our boundaries what we try, and exactly, you know, we said it's right, and this proves like this is very different from what I normally have and what I reach for and what I have access to. So
I have been wanting to delve into a bit more of the like the Flanders style lambics and those sort of things, because this is kind of the similar flavors that you get out of those. So the thing I find with saisons and farmhouse ales, they're good, they're light, they're refreshing, and they're enjoyable, but there tends to be not a lot of complexity to them.
Mm.
Whereas I think some of those, you know, those long-standing European breweries potentially have a bit more complexity through them, and I do want to do a bit more exploration through there.
Yep.
But I do agree, it's good to push your boundaries and try some different stuff.
Absolutely. I just want the blurb on the back here. Gather for another round, saisoners. I believe that's a word.
Yeah.
We took our zesty imperial saison and aged this fruity drop in Chardonnay barrels to invoke ripe aromatics of lemon and pear with just a hint of vanilla from the French oak. Deliciously fruity esters float upon notes of mandarin, peach, and grapefruit with a touch of peppery spice in this magnificent beer. Drink fresh, stay rad.
I'll do my best on that stay rad
thing. If it was drink fresh, stay dad, I'm very much there, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. I've been working on my dad bod. Or as I like to call it, my father figure.
That's all. I had a pre-dad bod before I was even a dad. So.
Me too. I've been prepping this since I was a teenager.
Yeah. Some of the old dad jokes I was telling them long before before fatherhood was bestowed upon me. So.
Absolutely.
I've been tormenting my older son lately. He would just say something about something innocuous. Like he would describe something. That's a bit, you know, softer marshmallow. And I'll just turn around and say, you're softer marshmallowy. Or just anything. And it'll just be, that sounds really strange. It's like, you sound really strange. And it's been going on for about the last 4 or 5 weeks. And it's got to the point where he's just over it. He's a dad. Stop. I can't stop now. It's there.
Now's the point you need to double down. Just keep the foot down.
Well, I've mixed it up a bit. I started doing it to my daughter, and he was just turning around, yeah, nice one, Dad. So, now you like it. Now you appreciate it.
Now when you're not in the spotlight, it's a different story.
But now I can do the fake as well now, because he'll just say something, and he'll go, I know what you're going to say. And I was like, what? You're going to say, no, I'm not going to say anything.
Don't make assumptions.
You don't know when it's coming now. I've got him paranoid.
Yeah, nice. Have you... changing the subject slightly, have you delved into a advent calendar beer, like beer advent calendar at all?
No, I missed out on the ones I was kind of wanting this year, just through like timing of them coming out and me having like funds available for them, because they seem to be more expensive this year than what they have been in the past.
Yeah.
So I've been, you know, looking with a bit of jealousy and a little of, kind of a little bit over them as well at this stage, probably because I don't have one.
Yeah.
The likes of, Craft Cartel and Carwin Cellars and all them. So, I did see someone, there's one that had a non-alcoholic beer in there. And that did not go down well. Oh boy. People were not happy with that one, which I kind of get, I suppose.
Look, technically it's a style of beer, right?
Yes.
And I get the objection, but at the same time, you might actually try something you enjoy.
Well, that's exactly it. And that's where, I mean, we did the non-alcohol beer episode the other week, and trying it just for, see where it's at. And they're not bad beers.
Yeah.
I mean, not something I would go out of my way to pick up without being in the right situation. But It's a chance for some of these guys to, like, you know, have a go, try something out. So
yeah,
it'd be interesting. I'd love to know how many other people actually tried it with an open mind, or it'd be like my son eating broccoli. He's already decided he's not going to like it. Yeah. It's not going to go down well.
Yeah, yeah. And find any reason I can not to enjoy it.
Yeah.
I suppose it's like, it's technically the same attitude that you get from the, you know, the guys that sit in the bar and like, oh no, I only drink 4X. That's all I've ever drank. Like, it's the same attitude. It's like, nope, I'll never like anything different. Like, well, no, you won't if you don't think, like, don't give it a go.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
The other one that caught my eye as well was shared on one of the bear groups. There's a group of people blowing up because inside their advent calendar was a Pilsner. I think Mr. Banks did was more, it's called More Foam Please or something like that, and it has a Pilsner.
People
complained that it wasn't hazy. And all they wanted was a hazy IPA. It's like, dude, this the
whole... Then just buy a slab of hazy IPAs and draw numbers on it. Like, seriously.
If I got one of the calendars and all it was hazy, I'd be really disappointed. Because I want them to throw stuff in there that I wouldn't normally grab from a shelf.
Yeah.
And, you know, and the Pilsner probably falls in that category as well. So, yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's the thing. You buy something like that because you want to try different stuff.
Yeah. Right?
It's like a mixed carton.
Mm.
If you just wanted to drink the same stuff you always drink, why even get one?
Yeah, exactly right.
It's an expensive way to drink what you always drink.
Might as well get one of the VB advent calendars.
Yeah, exactly.
24 days of VB.
Yeah. And we'll stick a VB gold in there just for shits and giggles.
Still trying to get rid of it from 7 years ago.
So have you been drinking anything good recently?
I've been drinking something really boring.
Oh, yeah.
Now, it was on last week's show. We did the Holgate's. It was a lager, basically.
Yeah.
This beer is, it's diminishing in how, I only gave it a 4 last week and it's getting worse and worse in my head.
but you're continuing to drink it.
Well, cause it's there.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Cause it came in a 6-pack, hence why I was on the bargain bin episode. Mm. And this beer is so boring that I'll crack one, have a sip, put it down and I forget that it's there.
Yeah.
Cause I think, oh, I should grab a beer. So, oh, I already have a beer. Oh, okay. Have a couple more sips, put it back down, keep watching TV. Then, oh. I feel like a beer. Oh, shit. I swear, it's not my Alzheimer's kicking in. I just forget that I have it. And the worst one was like, okay, I'll have one more beer before I go to bed. I grab the beer, put it next to me, start watching TV. Half an hour later, I realize, oh, I haven't actually opened the beer yet. So I picked it up, put it back in the fridge, went to bed.
Yeah, so was that the lager?
That was the lager, yeah. Holgate's Explorer or something like that. Just run-of-the-mill kind of lager thing.
Yeah.
I thought it would be like a crafty version of a furfy kind of refreshing ale.
Oh,
but
yeah, okay. Yep.
No, it's basically, you know, Foster's Light Ice.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah. The other one I will mention that should have made it onto the show, but they ran out was I finally got Sea Legs Golden Ale, the Dr. Swift.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it was $10 a 4-pack.
Shit, that's pretty good.
And it's probably the best $10 I've spent for a long time. Because it's a really cracking beer. And I wish I had that for last week's show, but they were out of stock at the time. And finally got that last night. And yeah, that's a cracking beer. So,
yeah, nice.
Yeah, okay. Especially being you don't get golden ales around anymore.
Not really, no.
No. I think I've had 2 this year. Yeah. And that's about it.
Yeah, unless you want to drink. What is it? I think it's James Squires, the Chancer.
Yeah.
Is that the golden ale?
Maybe.
Yeah. I don't know. Who cares?
The only two beers of theirs I remember is obviously 150 Lashes and Ace of Spades Porter. That's it.
Yeah, fair enough.
The Porter's okay. 150 Lashes, no.
Yeah. It'll do in a pinch, but yeah.
Yeah, when you go to a pub that's got nothing but Forest products, that'll do.
Yeah. Well, pardon me. I've been trying a few different things recently.
What have you been on?
So I actually tried some gluten-free beer.
Right.
Yeah. So I got a recommendation off the back of one of my videos.
Yep.
To try the Two Bays.
Yep.
It's called Big Red. So it was a red IPA, but totally gluten-free.
Right.
And the whole Two Bays whole lineup is gluten-free.
Ah, okay. So obviously Happy Valley is a gluten reduced. So let's go one step further, all gluten-free.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. So that was really quite impressive.
Mm.
Like, I didn't really go in with any expectations except kind of expecting it to not taste as good as a full gluten beer.
Yep.
But it was big and punchy, and it was what a red should be. Yeah. So
it wasn't like, again, like the fake sugar sort of thing with Coke. Like you don't drink anything. Oh, that tastes a bit fake there now. So there's no discernible really difference.
Look, I didn't get that in the red. No. Mm. I actually want to try some of their other ones, like the IPA and their different styles, just to sort of see how different it is.
Yep.
But yeah, so far so good.
Mm.
I also tried some Bacchus beers the other week. Picked up a few of them. That was expensive.
Yes, it is.
Actually, I was in there. They had their, it was called War and Pete.
Yep.
And it was like a whiskey barrel aged stout.
Yeah.
And it was supposed to be like really peaty, quite
sort of smoky and
yeah. And I went in there to get it. That's what I went there for. And it was $29 a can. And I went,
Jesus.
No, that's okay.
How strong was it?
It was. I was like maybe 13-14%. So it wasn't out of the bounds of Bacchus.
No. That's normal sort of Bacchus thing on you. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. So that was interesting. So anyway, I grabbed a 4-pack of other beers.
Yeah. And
tried them instead. And, yeah. I got some good ones. So I got a Blue-Bellied Black, which was a blueberry red ale.
Mm.
That was quite good. It had that real strong red ale flavor, but there was that sweetness from the blueberries that came through.
Yep.
I had another one, which is called, I'm probably pronouncing this wrong, but it's Hebridean Nights, which is a...
You're on your own with that one.
Yeah. Well, it's from the Hebrides in Scotland. So
gotcha.
It was a whiskey-infused beer.
Yep.
And I actually found that one to be really good in terms of it was a stout, and it was really, it was dry and smoky. So it was peaty.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think they nailed that well. So I kind of, that was like $11. So
good to see stout seasons continuing for you.
Mate, it hasn't stopped. the other one was a Rum Runner, which was like a rum-infused IPA. And I can't remember the fourth one. It must have been good. So, yep. Yeah. Yeah, so I've been doing a bit of exploring there, but nothing out of the ordinary. The other one I had was the Brendale Brewing's Dark Descent,
yeah,
their 2021 Imperial Stout.
Yeah, yeah.
That was really good.
Ah, nice.
Yeah. If you, I mean, there should still be a few out on the shelves if you happen to spot it out there. So.
The one I want to get, they've released a Christmas Port and Barley Wine.
Oh, yes.
I actually want to give that a crack. Cause I've seen a few breweries around the place doing a... Yeah, basically referring to the barley wine as a Christmas beer or Christmas pudding. Yep. So I like the idea of that, actually. So I wouldn't mind getting hold of something like that.
It wouldn't be a bad idea. I get excited. The last time I had a barley wine, though, was the Wayward Brewing one, and it wasn't good.
Yeah.
So I'm probably a little bit gun-shy on the barley wines at the moment.
Talking about the Advent Calendar's one I had last year, there's a barley wine in that.
Mm.
And I forget who it was. Off the top of my head, but that was an absolute cracker. Mm. And that's probably the first time I'd actually enjoyed a barley wine.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of, you know, I think two bad barley wines, one good. So I don't know where I stand on this at the moment. So,
Well,
admittedly, the first time I had a barley wine, it's probably more the shock, you know, thinking, holy shit, that does not taste like a beer.
Yeah, right.
So I'll scrub that one out. So.
Yeah. Well, might be worth exploring a few others. And again, pushing the boundaries a little bit. We're here to do the research so that you guys don't have to.
Absolutely, yeah, yeah. We'll find the bad beers and weed them out for you.
Yeah. Yeah, speaking of which.
Let's weed another beer. Oh, yeah. Actually, no, no, no. let's have another great beer from Urbanort.
Yeah.
All right, time now for beer number two from Urbanort. What's this one packing?
This one's a double-double West Coast IPA.
Double-double.
I almost went double-double Toil and Trouble.
I was thinking double-double Cheese Burger, please.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Was it an ad over here?
I don't think so. Oh, no.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think it was a McDonald's ad in New Zealand, and it's for a double cheeseburger, and they said, I'll have a double-double Cheese Burger, please.
Do you know, I never realised... Well, no, this was when I used to eat McDonald's a lot. I never realized you could just ask for a double for a long time.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, I think they had like one of the Whopper meals or something that. Whopper meals. Hungry Jacks. You know what I mean? Like the Hungry Jacks had the Summer Stunner ones, and McDonald's had another one. You get a McFlurry and it, whatever. This is like 15 years ago. Mm. They had like double and triple cheeseburgers in them.
Yep.
And I was going... That's a thing? So then I just started going, no, I'll have a double Big Mac. I'll have a double quarter pounder or a triple quarter pounder.
Yep.
And, you know, make sure there's as much meat as possible in it.
Yeah, double quarter pounder, or I suppose technically half pounder, but double quarter pounder.
Whoa, don't get confused.
Sorry, go too far on my crazy maths there. Yeah, that's a hangover special, that one. There's enough grease there to, give a buffalo a heart attack, basically.
Enough to soak up the guilt.
Exactly. They used to, I used to work at McDonald's when I was in New Zealand, and they had that as a promo, and I called it the Beefmeister, which we call back a house the Greasemeister, because you just see the grease dripping off it as we put it in the box. So, yikes. Yeah.
Do you know which one's always been really popular here, but I've never actually tried it?
What's that?
Is the McRib?
It's crap.
Is there bones in it?
I don't know. It's basically minced pork, and they put it into like a mold that's in the shape of a ribs.
Yuck.
Yeah, it's because it didn't come back for ages, and I had this inflated impression. Oh, McRib, that'd be amazing. And you bite into it, and it's this like flavorless pork patty with, I mean, it's some quite nice McDonald's barbecue sauce, but then it's shit. Yeah, it really is. Yeah.
Cool. Never trying it. Cool. Back to the beer.
Back to the beer.
So this one says it's this petite can of beer. What? Let me start again.
Okay.
This petite can of beer belies a revved up explosion of audacious flavor. This is why I failed English. A burst of bright citrus and orange blossom aromas swirl around a piney bitterness and malt toffee warmth. A colossal West Coast IPA showcasing Cryopop, Amarillo, Mosaic, Simcoe, and Cascade hops. Drink fresh, stay rad.
Oh, yeah.
And it's 13.5%.
Holy crap.
That is a big can.
That is.
For a West Coast, that's massive. For a
West Coast, that is huge.
It's got to be up there. I know, like, Hope Brewing did, like, their, like, 5 IPA Rhino thing that was, like, 18% and awful. But let's see how this goes. Yeah.
This is the one John over in New Zealand sent me a photo of this one. He was sipping away this one night saying, how good's this beer?
Right.
And I think he had a little miniature IPA glass for it or something. It looked like it anyway. And he was
you need a tulip glass or something.
Pretty much, eh? Like it looked like, yeah, a little champagne glass or champagne saucer or something like that. Jeez, look at that. That color is intense.
It is. It's very dark.
It's like a
very amber.
Yeah, so it's almost like a Manuka honey kind of color to it.
Yeah.
You know? Yep. Like, I'll just look at the bubbles come up, look like they're struggling to come through. Like it's, they're almost in slow motion trying to get through all the intensity of it.
Yeah. It's actually not overly strong smell wise. But there is a lot of malt in that.
There is, yeah. I can kind of smell the that sticky hoppiness there in the background, but well.
Did you try the Rhino from Hope Brewing?
No, I've never tried any of those ones.
Yeah, okay.
No.
It was like a 5 IPA, 18% thing. Yeah. It wasn't good. I didn't enjoy it.
I'm always put off with beers that use ABV as a marketing ploy.
Yeah.
Because I always believe they're making strong beers for the wrong reasons.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whereas if it's a good tasting beer, which I hope like this one will be, then it has to be strong. It has to be strong. Whereas like the Rhino ones are saying, let's make it 18% and who cares what it tastes like.
Yeah.
So.
But look, technically, if you just wanted a strong beer, you could probably just get a 4X and pour in a couple of shots of vodka or something.
Yeah. Oh man. That packs a punch.
Mm.
Oh, that is... That is intense.
Yeah, it's almost like syrup.
Yeah, it is very...
But not in a bad way.
No, not at all. It's, it's very syrupy and it's like drinking, not flavor-wise, but just intensity-wise. Have you ever had the Wild Turkey American Honey?
Yes.
It's like that. Yeah. It's got that real sweetness and the alcohol burns straight away with it. Yeah. Like, it doesn't taste the same. It's just the same experience when it's going through the palate. Like, it's comes through the sweetness and the burn. And you just kind of want to sip away then. That's
And it's got that. It does have that warmth.
Mm.
This would be. I mean, it's probably not ideal for a summer beer.
No.
But like a winter beer, this would be amazing. It's got that warmth that just sort of sits in your chest.
Mm. It's not one you want to gulp down and, you know, take a big mouthful and stuff. It's just sip. And all, because the flavor just holds in your mouth. Like, it just sits there, warms away, and you've got that, what's all that sort of toffee sweetness. And
yeah. I think you would lose... You would lose a lot of it if you just gulped it down.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. And you're not appreciating the beer for what it is.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. It's so good, you want to sip it.
That's a really good beer.
Yeah.
Mm.
That is, it does have those real strong West Coast flavors about it as well.
While we're sipping away that one, I did some research on Urban Orchard. So, talk about them and where they are and stuff like that. We spoke before about their beer blender series.
Yep.
I had a look at some of the other beer blender series that they do. Mm. The one that first got the notice, especially over here in Australia, Cole saw a couple of them and ordered shitloads of them to put into like Liquorland and First Choice and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Was the they had Mango Sour with Blood Orange Kvyat IPA, so you mix them together. One we had on the show, I think it's for the Kiwi episode at the start of the year, Salted Caramel IPA with Baked Pear Sour.
That's the one I've had.
And both individually really, really good.
Yep.
Mixing was a bit hit and miss.
I found the same. Like, I really enjoyed both beers individually.
Although, I think towards the end of it, off air, I put, I think, more of one into the other, and it started to come around a bit more. But
yeah, okay.
I didn't have enough beer left to, like, experiment further, so.
Yeah.
Interesting, like, they did one, a shandy one.
Mm.
In one can, they had a pilsner, in the other can, they had lemonade.
Right.
So it's like a two-pack shandy kind of thing. Yeah. So, and the one that I thought was actually really cool, they do one with a Black Forest Stout with espresso Scotch ale.
Oh, yeah.
That sounds amazing.
That sounds unreal.
That sounds bloody amazing. Yeah. So I don't know whether that one's still around. Mm. So, hey, Urban Ort, feel free to send that one out. Yeah. We'll give that one a go. Because that's something I want to do.
Shut up and take my money.
A while back, we had the, I think Chris bought it, the Pirate Life Black Forest Gâteau Sour.
Yes.
That's something we want to do with it. I want to take that beer and mix it with something like the Bearded Mongrel or something like that.
Yeah.
So I reckon blending that sour Black Forest with a big stout would actually create a really good beer.
Yeah, I reckon that'd work well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I was looking at with Urban Ort. They're in Auckland. They're part of what's called the Auckland Beer Mile, which is badly named because it's actually about 2.5 miles.
I think there's a lot of miles around the place that are named poorly.
Just like there's a beach up north called 90 Mile Beach, but it's only about half the distance of that. So,
yep.
And all this beer mile, there's all these places. This would be an awesome night out. So if Urban Ort, you want some to sponsor us for our trip to New Zealand, so we're happy to suss this out. So you started at Urban Ort, then just down the road you've got Garage Project Tap Room.
Yes.
So, you know, tasting room and do takeaways and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Then there's a place called the Fridge and Flagon. It's a specialty craft beer bar. These are the guys behind one of the New Zealand's biggest craft beer online stores called Bear Jerks.
Oh, yeah, okay.
They've got a Facebook page as well, which I follow and look at what they're drinking over there. They're also behind, there's a brewery startup just this year called Small Gods Brewery.
Hmm.
Now, anyone in the Facebook group might have seen a little while ago, I posted a can art, which was a black can with like a scratched-in picture of Satan with red wax on it.
Yes, that's right.
That's Small Gods.
Right, okay.
These guys' packaging, what they do with theirs is just, it's crazy what they do. They've done a few of those with like dipping in wax and stuff like that. They did a really cool one for Remembrance Day, which was called Third on a Match.
Mm.
It's just a brown, muddy can with like a burnt match on it. There's a story behind it for the trenches and stuff like that. It was really cool.
Yeah, cool.
Another one I liked was there's a milkshake-style beer. I forget the name of it. Forbidden Fruit it was.
Yeah.
And it's this yellow can. Of course, it's a milkshake-style beer. They stuck a paper-covered straw on the side of every can to make it look like a milkshake.
Well, you know, the marketing sells.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of getting off topic a little bit here, but that's kind of one of Apple's biggest draw cards.
Yeah.
It's all about the packaging.
That's it.
It's all about the experience.
That's exactly right, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And it's what's going to make you pick it up off the shelf as well.
Yeah, it catches the eye and, it makes it stand out from everything else. So, so they're on this beer mile as well. Then there's a place called Galbraith's Ale House. They make cask-conditioned real ales.
Right.
And we're doing it since 1995, so that'd be...
Wow,
it's not craft beer, but a different side of craft beer, like it into all the British ales and that sort of thing, so that'd be awesome. Yeah. There's a place called Brothers Duke Joint. They brew their own beer, but barbecue food and brisket and pulled pork and chicken wings. So I'm down for that. And then there's a little place called Churley's, which is Behemoth Brewing's food and beverage off. All within like 2 miles away. That's fucking amazing. Yeah.
I reckon I'd need 10 days just to get down the mine.
Oh, mate, that'd be amazing. Like week out and going along there. So,
Some of the current Urbanaut releases are a Raspberry Lamington Hazy IPA. They've also got Beer Blender, Raspberry Sour and Blueberry Sour.
Okay.
They've got a few here. So this one sounds really interesting. It's called a Living Beer and it's Purple Hibiscus Szechuan Yuzu Wheat Beer.
Wow. It's like they just picked a whole bunch of ingredients out of a hat and said, let's just see how it goes.
It does sound like sorcery, doesn't it?
Yuzu Szechuan Purple Hibiscus.
Yeah, wheat beer.
Wow, okay.
I like the creativity there. I mean, they've got like apples and pears Imperial Sour. They've got a Palomar Chili Lager.
Right.
Which sounds interesting.
Yeah.
And a couple of other bits and pieces as well. But I just love the creativity. We've said this for a while. I love breweries that really sort of think outside the box and try and do different stuff, not just like here's seven hazies.
Here's the newest IPA for the month. Do something a little different. It's like
this month it's Simcoe.
I think I was talking about it last week. Like Garage Project, the beer they got coming up called Spirit and Sour and Syrup.
Yep.
And it's a big bottle of sour beer with a little bottle of flavouring on the side. And mix and match your own sort of flavoured sour kind of thing. Stuff like that. Just do something creative. These guys seem to be doing really creative stuff.
I think this is what is impressing me about Kiwi breweries at the moment is that the big ones, they're the big ones, but they're still producing these really unique different styles all the time.
Yep. I think the advantage is that although in New Zealand they are a big craft brewery, on the grand scheme of things, they're still a small brewery.
Yeah.
I think they've still got the big enough they can get the product out there, but small enough they can still experiment without throwing away too much beer.
Maybe.
But I have noticed also the other place that seems to be a bit more experimental, I think, over in WA.
Mm.
Like some of the beers that the likes of like Rocky Ridge... Beer Farm and all these other ones over there. Even
Brucher.
We're going to say, Brucher Libre. Some of the stuff he's putting together, just is wild stuff that you don't see over here. So I just wonder, it's like that almost that separation from the rest of the scene kind of breeds his creativity and allows them to have their own thoughts and their own agendas as
well. Yeah. Well, I guess, at the end of the day, you've still got to make stuff for the market. And if the market's happy to indulge, then you kind of lean into it.
Mm.
If the market's telling you that all they want's hazies, then you need to listen to it as well.
Oh, yeah.
There's no point throwing money down the drain if nobody's going to drink it.
If people are buying hazies, you've got to make hazies. But, there's only a certain number of hazies that need to do.
It's like make hazy while the sun shines. Yeah. But this is, going back to the beer.
Yeah.
This is thoroughly enjoyable.
Just a little sip every now and then, and it's warming the throat. It's that stickiness is starting to come through a bit more as well. The hoppiness is really kicking along. But what was it? 13.5%.
Yep.
It's not really that boozy.
It's not.
It's more. It almost feels like more of a hot burn from the intense flavor rather than I'm not wincing every time I'm drinking it.
Yeah. It's not stripping my throat on the way down.
Yeah. Well, it's incredibly smooth for how strong that beer is.
And that's 250ml can. It's 2.7 standard drinks.
Mm.
So that's comparing it up there with big 375ml, 400ml cans quite easily.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's promising that because is the from Australia these got sent from, wasn't it?
No, they were sent from New Zealand.
I was hoping that these are coming to Australia and available over here somewhere soon because this is things like this would be great.
Yeah. And I think we'll see some of it. And like anything that's coming from NZ, I suppose, is we'll probably get a quarter, a half of, the stuff that they're doing.
Mm.
We might miss out on some stuff, which is a shame.
Yep.
But at the end of the day, I guess it's about how much we're consuming to make it a viable business venture for them to go, right, let's just send everything.
Mm.
I mean, it's like Chur Brewing.
Yep.
They kind of went, well, because of X, Y, and Z, the cost to get stuff over there, it's just no longer viable for us to do it,
mm.
which is such a shame.
Mm. But actually, that was more than anything, it was a labeling issue for them.
Right.
Because in New Zealand, the behemoth over here, the Chur.
Oh, that's right.
And because of shipping delays, they had all this Chur brewing stuff in New Zealand, which they couldn't sell because the wrong label that they couldn't get to Australia. And likewise, they couldn't send behemoth stuff over here because they can't sell it over here under that label.
Couldn't they just relabel?
They could, but then it comes to extra cost and expense stuff. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Which is, yeah. Hopefully they find a resolution to that and it can come through. But
it'd be good to see him back. Yeah.
Yeah. Because they are very, very good as well.
Mm. Yeah. I'm just going to have another sip. This is so good.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think John's earned his place as like our favorite listener.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, it doesn't taste like a 13.5% beer.
No. I would say if you were basing it on taste, you'd kind of go 7 or 8.
Yeah. Eight, or it could be a 9, but yeah it's you think the Leviathan that was done by Helios and Sea Legs, like that was, I think, 11%. Mm. And that tastes a lot stronger than what this was. This is,
yeah.
They had more of that burn afterwards, where this is just an amazing beer.
Yeah. And we might add... I might add, just because Urbanaut sent us these beers doesn't mean we have to blow smoke up their ass.
Yeah, exactly right. Like if
we'll do we're doing honest reviews.
We do honest reviews. Mm. We're not scoring these at the moment just because the freebies there. We don't want to sound like we're giving high scores just because they sent them. Although if we were scoring, that would be right up there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they're really quite impressive. But we do have one more to try.
Yeah. Do you know, actually, Newstead were doing small cans for a while. When they were doing remember when the Working Title brand used to be under Newstead? They had And they brought out these little small cans like that as well.
Yeah, yeah.
But then they kind of went away, I think, when Working Title became its own kind of entity. So.
Yeah, that's right. I can't say that I ever tried any of them, though.
No.
They weren't really mass marketed. I think a lot of the time it was either specialist bottle shops or going to the brewery itself.
And I think, unfortunately, because it was kind of new set and they're not really on the, in the zeitgeist of like popular brewers at the moment, you know what I mean? Like they're just, which is a shame because I think they're really good, but they're not cool anymore.
Which is kind of a shame, really.
Yeah, it is.
They do some good stuff.
They absolutely do. They do some amazing beers.
Yeah. But and this is what kind of bothers me a little bit. It's almost like it's the in crowd.
Yes.
And it's almost like, oh, let's just follow the crowd rather than people making their own individual judgments based on the quality of beer.
Yeah.
Like, well, I'm just going to go with these guys because everybody's doing it.
Everyone's doing this. So let's jump on. And it's the popular ones, Range, Mountain Culture, all these guys. Everyone jumps on Deeds and Mr. Manx and it's cool to like them. Yes, they are good. High quality brewing, but are people liking them for what they are, or they're just following what's popular? Whereas the likes of Lost Palms and Ether and all these other ones kind of get forgotten about a little bit. So
I think Newstead have always been a really good staple for me.
Yeah,
like I think they just do some really good standard beers as well.
Yeah,
and there's people out there that would dispute that, but it's all individual taste.
Absolutely,
and I think there's almost like an implied attitude of I've spent $17 on a can, I've got to enjoy it.
Yes.
Rather than just going, that was shit, I can't believe I spent $17 on that. It's almost like you're forcing yourself to go, yeah, that was good.
This is amazing. Like,
everyone should buy it.
People spent $18 on one of the Rhino Black IPA. Oh, this is the best beer I've ever had in my life. I'm just going to throw up now.
Yeah, I think it takes a bit of courage to stop your ego getting in the way when you buy something and you don't like it.
That's right, yeah. And then
look at all the BMW owners out there.
Well, Tesla owners.
I think I'd rather the Tesla.
Yeah. Mm. I know. What I've seen, they're a bit dodgy.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How's that bulletproof glass going for him?
just waiting for the Cybertruck to come through.
Speaking of which, have you been doing any gaming recently?
I have. Uh-huh. Yeah, I started off.
What have you been playing?
What have I been playing? I've been jumping back into Halo because single player campaign's on there, and as demonstrated on a couple weeks ago, I suck at Halo multiplayer. So this way, no one gets to watch me fail.
Yeah,
and I do fail quite a lot on this, and it's good fun. But I do miss when I played Halo, through my younger years, it's always as a co-op team going through the campaign. That's not there at the moment.
Yeah, right. Okay.
So I don't have anyone else to fall back on to, carry me through and, lift me over the, lift my corpse over the shoulder and go through the battle lines.
Yeah, and carry you through. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. I've actually started playing Cyberpunk.
Right.
2077.
Yep.
There's been a lot of negative press about that game.
Oh, yes, there has.
I quite enjoy it.
Yeah. You've only just started playing it then?
I've probably put in maybe 25-30 hours so far.
So have you heard the backstory of how this game was released?
No.
Actually, first of all, what are you playing it on? We're going into nerd corner here. This is like scratching an itch.
Yeah, I know. PS4 Pro.
PS4 Pro. It works on PS4 Pro. If you play it on a PS4 base, it won't work.
Yeah, I have heard that.
Yeah, but basically it was...
Look, there's the loading times are reasonably good, but there is a little bit of a delay, and I've upgraded mine with an SSD, so it's faster than a normal PS4 Pro. Yeah. But the main gripes I've heard are just glitches, which there are a couple, but it's not unplayable.
Yeah. When this game was released, it was a broken mess, especially on like PS4 and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And when it's come out for reviews, there's a strict embargoes that you can only show coverage from the PC version of this. You're not allowed to show any console version, and all this other rules. So when a review is showing all this, this pretty nice little graphics.
Yeah.
And I remember one of the big reviewers, they followed the guidelines. This is what it was, and it got like this score. And then 2 days later, when the embargo was up, they said, "This is what it looks like on a PS4." And it's like it looked worse than a PS2. Like it looked it was dodgy. It was running at 10 frames per second. All the cars were disappearing, and it was unplayable. It was so bad that PlayStation pulled the game from the digital store, so you couldn't actually buy it for 6 months.
Wow.
So yeah.
Yeah.
And it was broken, and they would obviously dodge up the review so they could get out in time, get a nice like score and bonus and stuff. And
I reckon CDPR would be licking its wounds after that one.
Yes.
Because they produce some good stuff.
Oh, and they had a great reputation after
The Witcher.
The Witcher 3, they had a great reputation. They kind of burnt it with this one. So
yeah, shame.
Mm. Mm. Anyway, let's get back
to The Witcher 4. Yeah, let's get into the next one.
All right, time to get ready for band number 3. Evanor Brewing presents
The Pizza Resistance. That was my attempt at really bastardizing that word. So this one's a rum barrel aged Imperial Tropical Stout.
Ooh.
So it's dulcet and delicious. Our tropical stout was aged in rum barrels, adding luscious notes of scorched toffee, dark chocolate, and a hint of fig and spice to this decadent creamy beer. Rich and velvety, the perfect after hours nightcap to see you out. Drink fresh, stay rad. Hey, look at that. I can read stuff better when I've had a few drinks.
They specially designed the label so the letters all blur back together and legible after two 10-plus alcohol beers.
Yeah, I reckon. Yeah, this one's 12.
12%.
So, yeah. Which
so it's mid-strength.
It is, yeah, mid-strength.
Compared to the last one.
2.5 standard drinks. Yeah, nothing big.
Yeah. So what's it called again?
Say
Rum Barrel Age Imperial Tropical Stout. Holy shit. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Sounds interesting. Release the Kraken.
Unleash the Kraken.
Oh, that looks dark. Oops.
This might be one that I bemoan coming in a small can, because this is the sort of beer I'd love to have a big can of and, fall asleep halfway through drinking it.
I reckon even at a 500ml can, you're sort of talking 4.8 standard drinks.
Yeah.
That's manageable.
Yeah, I can do that.
Yeah.
That's my probably first and last beer of the night.
Yeah.
It's multi-purpose.
Well, there you go. It's a cheap night then.
Exactly right.
We just need two of them, really.
So there's not much head coming through on that.
Not at all.
Just on my wife. I'm not leaving that in there. Oh, God.
Wow. Yep. Cool.
There's a really easy way to find out my wife listens to the show.
Actually, have you seen the guy on TikTok that talks about the reasons why he had to apologize to his wife?
I love he's got 2 million followers now.
I know. It's kind of become a running joke in our household. When something happens and I feel the urge to say sorry, I just start going into that. I'm like, so today I had to apologize to my wife for not understanding what she meant when she said something like, you know what I mean. I now realize that it's my job to interpret her ramblings and be able to understand exactly what she means. I've invested in a crystal ball.
It's moments like that on TikTok that's why I appreciate TikTok. Yeah. I hate when it's just, you know, let's be popular on TikTok by taking off all our clothes and dancing to whatever's trendy. It's like, hey, it's...
Well, that's my whole gig.
If I want to watch that, I'll go to Pornhub, basically, you know?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, like, that's not how you get popular. You're just copying everyone else. You're not original. People like that come up with a really simple thing.
How do you think most of the influencers... become famous?
Well, yes, exactly right.
It's like bikini shot, bikini shot, bikini shot.
Yeah. I'm still going to drink this product in my bikini.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, okay, yeah, cool, right.
Look, I'd sit there and drink beers in my mankini if people were going to pay me for it.
But if people pay me enough, I'll wear whatever. Yeah. You know? I'm selling myself out here.
Anyway, back to the beer.
Yeah, back to the beer.
Oh, that smells good.
That
reminds me of the Mongrel a little bit, just on the smell.
It does. It really does, actually. Mm.
Bit of coconut in there, and you really get that barrely rum smell to it as well.
Yes, you can. Oh, yeah, that like spice rum kind of flavor and stuff. Like, man, that's worth the price of admission just for the smell on that.
I reckon.
You know?
Yeah.
Hmm. Wow. That just takes you on a journey, doesn't it?
Yeah.
There's coconut. There's coffee. There's like dark chocolate. There's like the little vanilla and spice from the rum, and there's something get. Well, there's more coffee there as well. I'm just getting that's
that really reminds me of the Bearded Mongrel.
It does.
I really like the Bearded Mongrel.
I do too, actually. Yeah. I think I like it more than the Bearded Mongrel.
Yeah, okay. Yep. I think I'd find them hard to differentiate, really, but
I think the main difference, I don't know whether it's just because it comes in a small package and I'm just trying to like consume it like gradually, but it seems to be just that they're a little bit more like intensity and like just hard hitting. Not saying the Bearded Mongrel is not soft by any means.
Yeah.
But this is, I think it's just some of the coffee and the coconut coming through. It just really, really punches well.
Yeah. I do like that coconut flavor coming through.
Yeah.
It's like, it's prominent enough to make it enjoyable, but not over the top.
It's such a wild card using coconut flavoring in a beer because it can go either way. It's why the Respite from Ether is one of my favorite beers of the year, but it's also why the coffee coconut beer from Wayward is one of my most disappointing beers of the year.
Yeah, right.
Because of course it was so bad in that one, but so good in the other one. It's
a difficult balance. Like if you think about the brewing process, you've literally got a trial and error. It almost.
Yeah, absolutely.
You've kind of got to go right. Well, I don't know. A kilo of coconut is too much. But 800 grams is not enough. Mm. And do you know what I mean? Like in terms of that, you really don't know until the end product comes out after the barrel aging process, whether it's good or not.
Mm.
But that is good.
That is really good. Oh, damn.
Mm. Well, while we're enjoying this.
Yes.
The Witcher 2 comes out next week. Well, that's season 2.
Yep.
Are you watching?
I've never actually indulged in anything The Witcher, which is shocking because I'm a massive nerd.
Yeah.
but The Witcher series and, I've never got into that, so I probably should.
Yeah.
Is it Games of Thronesy?
kind of. Yeah, okay. But in a different way.
By that I mean, is there boobs in it?
Yes.
Okay, cool. I might watch it then.
yes. There's boobs, but less incest.
Well, that's good then.
Yeah.
You said that as a negative, though.
I'm leaving that. Incest, the game the whole family can play. Oh, shit. But so I started playing The Witcher 3, and I've played it through twice now. Like, right. I enjoyed it that much.
Yep.
And I don't think you're not much of an RPG.
I'm not an RPG guy, yeah. So.
Yeah. And that's kind of my thing.
Yep.
I love big storyline, like massive choose your own adventure games. Mm.
The older I've got and the more tied up with work I've got, the more I focus on like small indie games that only take like an hour to finish.
I just want to get in there and shoot some Nazis for an hour and then get out.
I don't know about you, but you probably can't say because at your house at the moment. But my PS5's got this weird feature that every time I start playing games, it engages wife mode. Like I'll turn on a game and say, oh, by the way, this happened today. Blah 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 blah. So I pause the game. Okay. Mm-hmm. 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 Okay, right. Unpause. Oh, by the way, this is where I was. Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Mm. So I don't know. I don't know how to disable the feature of the PS5. I mean, yeah.
One, and this'll check whether my wife's listening as well, is one trick that I do is like, oh, you really like that TV show, don't you?
Mm.
Well, why don't you go upstairs and watch that for a couple of hours? I'll just stay down here and play my game for a bit. You know, I really just talk down my game as much as possible.
Actually, you know, one of my biggest successes of this year, I introduced you to Letterkenny.
Yes.
I inadvertently introduced my wife to Letterkenny.
Right, yeah.
Towards the end, when I'm watching like the last season of it.
Yeah.
And like normally my wife goes to bed, that's when I start watching what I want to watch. Mm. It'll be Letterkenny, something like that. I'll put on Letterkenny. She just started hanging around. And she goes, I quite like this, actually. Yeah, I know, right? So it's... You think it's going to be dumb, but it's actually really smart. It's like, I know, that's why I like it. That's exactly why I like it.
I think this is kind of the level that gets missed on a lot of these types of comedies.
Yep.
Like, it's yes, it is a little bit immature.
Yes.
But it's so incredibly clever.
Yeah,
it's witty.
It's surprisingly clever.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how far through it, but you would have come through some of the mid-season transitions when they had their first... Like some of the writing on that is just exceptional.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
As I like to try and write creative stuff, as some people might see on the show, but I see some of the stuff and there's that's I can't do that.
That's next level. Yeah.
which most things are beyond me, but yeah, that's something I aspire to. I'd love to be able to do something like that. That'd be amazing. But
I liken it to, like Ricky Gervais.
Yes.
Like, not so much his stand-up, but the TV shows,
mm-hmm.
where they're just, they're intelligently witty.
Yeah.
Have you watched many of his TV shows?
Yes. Probably the most I've watched is what's the one where he's a miserable git and his wife just died, basically?
Afterlife,
yeah.
Yeah.
Because it comes off as being very coarse at first, but there's a dark sincereness to it.
Yeah.
Into the humor kind of thing.
I think the thing I like about Afterlife, I don't know if I like it or not, but it really kind of levels you.
Yeah.
Like you watch an episode and you laugh, but I tell you what, it brings out some feelings that I'm not comfortable with.
Yes.
Like you just sit there going, holy shit, can you imagine being in that situation?
Yeah. In saying that, I started watching the second season of it and I couldn't do it.
No.
I don't know. It just wasn't hitting the right tones, I think.
Fair enough. Yeah. Did you ever watch Derek?
I don't think I did, actually.
He was the one where he was like the special needs guy that worked at the retirement home.
So I didn't watch much of The Office, but I watched a little bit of like extras and stuff, but I didn't really get too much into it. So
never watched The Office.
Yeah. No.
I think I watched one episode of the US one and I went, this is stupid.
Yeah, that's what people rave about. One of the greatest comedies ever, the US one. Like, is it? Is it?
Mm. Brooklyn Nine-Nine, though.
Nah, it doesn't do
it. No, really?
Yeah. No.
Yeah. Well, what do you know? There is helicopters in.
Where's helicopter again? Yeah. Wow. Podbet's paying out again.
I reckon they're following you. This is not about the suburb at all.
Yeah, I'm starting to wonder that as well, actually. That cannot be a coincidence.
No. And this is a respectable suburb. You just don't get this sort of stuff around here.
Yeah, we found him. He's drinking 13% beer. He's about to drive home. We got him covered.
He's circling as well.
He is. He's coming back around.
He's got me worried.
Yeah. This beer is so good.
Man. It's one that you can definitely tell that is really boozy, but it's so good, I don't care.
Yeah. I've been really impressed with these.
All three of these beers just are exceptional.
Yeah.
They really are.
Yeah.
Um,
I just think I would wonder how much these would cost you, because I think the price point will be what makes it or ruins it.
And yeah, that's where it's that mental battle. Or, you know, if these were, you know, $15 a hit, would you grab a can of that?
I reckon.
Again, we didn't pay for these, so we don't know what the price for entry is. It's and that'll be the hurdle to overcome. Like if you're looking at the shelf and you got Bearded Mongrel, which is already, what's it, about $15 a can, is it?
About that, yeah.
So this would have to be like $10 a can for something that's smaller. So which would you go for?
Yeah.
And spend more to get more, or spend less to have a... It's not less of a bear. It's the equivalent of the Bearded Mongrel, so...
And it's kind of interesting. If they were priced exactly the same, I know that you said you like this one a little bit more, but would you be prepared to pay the same amount?
Going in blind, if I saw that can next to the Bearded Mongrel and I had to choose one, both the same price, of course I'm going to the bigger can.
Yeah.
But if it was $5 less, which would you go for?
I don't know. Because I genuinely think that's probably the price point would be.
Yeah.
Would have to be.
And that's the hard sell, is getting people to buy a smaller can of beer.
Yeah.
And I'm guilty of it as well. I piss and moan when people, you know, cans are 330 mil. But that's when it's like a normal sort of IPA or something coming in a smaller can. I hate that.
But I think knowing how good that is, I wouldn't have a problem spending $10 on it.
You know what would work, though? If this came as a pack.
Yep.
Four of these cans for that size, for some price, that would work amazingly well. And
well,
I would go for that. Oh.
Let me tell you a little bit of the research. So it's not these ones exactly, but on the Urban Alt Beer website, they do a four-can gift pack.
Yep.
Which is the barrel-aged Saison and the rum barrel-aged Imperial Tropical Stout.
I'm sold already.
So four beers, $44.95, including a couple of glasses.
That's not bad.
It's not bad.
That's actually pretty good. Especially with the glasses as well.
Yeah. And I'm assuming that's NZ dollars. So what's that, $12 here?
You'll get change from a dollar.
No, but it's probably about $40, right?
Yeah, about $40, yeah.
So that's kind of exactly bang on.
Yeah. One of the things I hate in the last 20 years living in Australia is seeing New Zealand dollar catch up. Because it used to be like, you know, $1 would buy $1.30 in New Zealand.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's the equivalent. You walk through Auckland Airport into New Zealand and it's like, welcome to New Zealand, 30% off everything. It's like, yes, sale time.
Yeah.
Whereas now it's like, it's all parody and stuff like that. And you basically lose money on the dollar because, you know, all the money.
Things are more expensive.
Well, and the money exchange place is all a bunch of rip-off merchants. That, yeah.
Oh, that was really good.
Oh. Well, I know
we're not necessarily scoring them, but in terms of your favourite, where would you land?
Probably the stout, my favourite, the West Coast, or the Double Double West Coast IPA, second favourite, and the Saison, third favourite, which none of them are bad beers.
No.
They're all exceptional beers.
Yeah.
Like this, if a scoring, I'm talking like, you know, 10, 9.5, 9 kind of sort of situation here. Like these are all phenomenal beers. And that stout is something I'm going to remember for a while, that stout.
Yeah.
That is pretty good.
I think in terms of beers of the year,
that's
going to be in there.
Yeah.
And I think you're right. Like if I was going to pick them, I'd probably pick the same order. And that's not taking anything away from any of them.
No.
And that's based purely on my preference of styles.
Yep.
Because in terms of what I look for, I would pick a stout
absolutely
over a
West
Coast over a Saison.
Mm-hmm.
But they are incredible beers.
Mm.
I'm thoroughly impressed. This has been a really good episode.
This has been a fantastic episode. Sorry, Chris.
Yeah. Sorry you couldn't be here. Sorry, not sorry.
Yeah, absolutely. They are incredible beers. I hope we can see more of them. Because other than the beer blenders, I think the only other beer I had from Urban Alt beforehand was, it's called Party Line. It was a raspberry sherbet IPA or stouts. It was raspberry sherbet flavor, and it now got the raspberry sherbet zingy kind of thing. It was really good.
Yeah, okay.
it was one of these old wild things. Like, okay, it'd just be raspberry. Let's call it sherbet for shits and giggles. But yeah. No, it had all that zingy sherbet kind of like stuff to it.
Yeah,
so,
wow. Okay.
They're clearly one of these breweries that when they aim to make something taste a certain way, they nail it.
Yeah, yeah, and I think there's a lot of beers that try to do that.
Mm.
But I also think there's a lot of beer breweries that don't manage to do that.
Any that come to mind about that?
Those who shall not be named.
Yes. So we're getting a final. Thank you, Urbanot. Thank you, John in New Zealand. This has been quite the exceptional exploration of beers, really.
It's been fantastic.
It's been absolutely brilliant. Anyone else listening wants to send us some free beers, go for it. the standard's been set, though, and the hard standard of the beer is
But we'll take anything and we'll look at it honestly and give it out our honest thoughts.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for listening once again.
Yeah,
I've been Russell.
I've been Wazza.
We'll catch you next time.